Our proverb for today is Proverbs 12:26. Proverbs 12:26. So if you would turn there, we can read this proverb, a wonderful proverb, a very interesting proverb. And it reads this way: the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth him. Now, when you read this proverb for the first time, it does seem odd in that it tells me that if I am a righteous man, I am more excellent than my neighbor. Now, when I was a child, and I find this not to be true today, but when I was a child, I was told that I was not to think of myself as better than others. For to do so was attached to what was called pride. Not in a good sense, but pride in a bad sense. And perhaps I would, with that pride, lord my supposed excellence over others whom I would think were less endowed. Now today that's not what's taught to children, for children are taught to esteem themselves very highly, based upon nothing, just because they are them. And that's totally alien to the teaching that I had when I was a child. And so therefore, this proverb is strange in this matter. But when you see a proverb like this, you, as a Bible student, should dig deeper into the message of this proverb to not only look at the beginning of the proverb, but the ending, for the ending talks about the way of the wicked. You know, the Bible tells us to rightly divide the word of truth. In other words, when you see a passage, don't just take that passage, but go to other parts of the scriptures to see how the whole thing fits together. God is a God of the whole. God doesn't solve bits and pieces of problems. He looks at the whole and sees how it all fits together, and he deals with everything within the whole. So you look at the end of this proverb, because so many proverbs are contrasts. One part will tell you about the other part. And with this in mind, perhaps the beginning part of this proverb should lead us to talk about the way of the righteous in contrast to the way of the wicked. So keep that in mind. We're talking about the way of the righteous versus the way of the wicked. Now, it also, in your Bible studies, should lead you to other translations of the Bible. We are not a single translation body of believers, or I think most of us are. I can't speak for all of you, but we teach that other translations are valid, and we don't worship one translation. So as a Bible student, we go to other translations to perhaps get more light on something that is said in the King James Version. We use the King James Version primarily, but we look at other translations. For unless God intervenes in our lives, there is no way we can think of ourselves as more excellent than others, for we all fit into the category of sinners. Now, God has told us that. We've all sinned. We all come short of the glory of God. So it is true that the righteous and the wicked are equal when it comes to the nature they inherited from Adam, but they become totally different when the Spirit of God enters the picture. So what's the difference between us? What's the difference between the righteous and the wicked? The Spirit of God. For when this transaction comes, there comes a conforming to the image of Christ. Now, that's what we're about as Christians. We are to be conformed to the image of Christ. Salvation is wonderful. It's the entry point into life. But there comes after that a work of the Spirit in our lives to conform us to God's Son. Isn't that wonderful? What a gift that is. To think about the Lord is working in our lives. Are you letting the Lord work in your life? Are you allowing the Lord full sway in your life? Many aren't. Many are just sucking their thumbs, you know, being babes. But God wants us to grow, to bring fruit bearing in our lives. And because of this, in the righteous, there is the ability to love. There is the ability to forgive. There is ability to serve. So now we see some separating things between the wicked and the righteous, do we not? So in order to get the full meaning of our proverb for today, it is good at times to look at other versions of the Bible in order to understand God's Word. Now, according to the New American Standard, this proverb reads this way. The righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. So here we have a characteristic of the righteous, an uplifter, a guide, whereas the wicked, a down pusher, one that leads astray. The Amplified Bible for Proverbs 12:26 says this, the consistently righteous man is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked causes others to go astray. Very similar. And then the New English Translation, which is the NET Bible. Now, the NET Bible is an interesting Bible because it's filled with explanatory notes, translation notes, why this occurred, why this was translated this way. Very interesting Bible. And it reads this way, the righteous person is cautious in his friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. So the same ending, a little bit different touch on the beginning. Now, these explanatory notes of the NET Bible include the idea that a righteous person is careful to note the direction his friends are going. He's careful to note the direction his friends are going. Now, as gospel preachers, as gospel tellers, are we not that way? Aren't you concerned about the lost and the direction that they're going? That's part of the righteousness that you are supposed to have. So you examine their way in order to offer help that they may go in the right direction, thus preventing them from harm. Now, what's a witness for? Well, it's to tell them the good news to prevent them from harm. So the message of this proverb is that the righteous, and I use that term to describe believers, not self-righteous, righteous by act of God, those born again by the Spirit of God, are not to think of themselves more highly than their neighbor, but that they should be concerned and care about the direction their neighbor is going. That's the essence of this proverb. This is validated by the contrast that is given in the proverb, for the contrast is between who cares about their neighbor more, the righteous man or the wicked man. That's what we're talking about here. It is saying that the righteous man has a heart for caring for his neighbor, a heart for caring, contrasted to the wicked man who only wants to deceive and lead his neighbor astray, using him for his own gain. There's a contrast. So the righteous man can be said in that sense to be more excellent than his neighbor. He only cares more about the way his neighbor is going and has, now get this, and has the wherewithal to help. See, You have the, if you're righteous, you have the wherewithal to help your neighbor. God gives you the tools. God gives you the ability to be a help to your neighbor. The wicked lead them astray. Now, they may be very friendly, but they're not leading them from harm. They're leading them to harm. So this proverb is a contrast between the righteous and the wicked with regard to their ability to care as to their neighbor's way, as to their neighbor's going. Now, what did Jesus Christ say about this? Well, he said, I'm the way. Wow, that tells us a lot, doesn't it? Jesus Christ didn't say the book of Proverbs is the way, except in the sense that he is the Word of God, but he said, I'm the way. You got to look at Christ. You got to look at his word. I'm the way to know what the way is. Now, when he said this, he not only meant that he is the way to the Father, which is true, he's the way to the Father, but he meant that he is the way of life for all those who believe in him. So, what's God doing here? He's conforming us to Christ. In other words, Jesus Christ provides to those who have received him a way of life that is called the righteous way of life. He is the way. You are in the way, therefore you are righteous. It's a righteous way of life. Now, it is a lighted way. It is a superior way, which when followed only brings good. Now, it's that Romans 8:28 verse way that says, and we know that all things work together for good. To whom? To those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, the righteous ones. All things work together for good to the righteous ones. What a promise that is. You know, the trials and difficulties that you go through each day, nothing. When you think about this verse, God's going to bring it about. He's a God of the whole, and he's going to bring it all together. So it is not that the righteous are more excellent than his neighbor, just because they are that they are. It is that the way of the righteous is more excellent than the way of his neighbor. My neighbor who is lost doesn't have a savior. I have a savior. That's the difference. Not me. I'm not more excellent in me. I'm excellent in Christ. So anything that the righteous have to give to his neighbor that is more excellent is because God gave it to the righteous in the first place. All glory to God in this matter. This proverb takes no glory to me. This proverb takes no glory to you. All glory goes to God. Another way to phrase this proverb is this way. This is an expanded, this is Ludwig Opeger's amplified version. The way of the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor's, and therefore the righteous will provide honest guidance to him that will lead only to good. Now, that's your obligation as a righteous person, to provide honest guidance to your neighbor that will lead to good. But the way of the wicked is dishonest and designed to lead in a direction that is far from good. In fact, it is a way that will lead astray with death as the ultimate destination. That's the proverb we're talking about today. So the key here is the relationship to God. You know, God makes the difference. God makes the difference. You don't make the difference. You don't have anything that anybody else doesn't have. God makes the difference in your life. So being among the righteous always brings an ability to bring good to a neighbor, for the righteous have an abundance of God-given assets with which to help. Now remember that in this proverb. You have God-given assets with which to help. The righteous have an abundance about them that should move them to show generosity to others. Boy, we got a big responsibility. You know, we're on this earth to fulfill a big responsibility. Jesus, who is the way, told his own this: for to everyone to whom much is given, what? Much is required. Wow. That's great, isn't it? That's something that you have to remember. Much has been given to us. We have great assets. And we hoard our assets, or do we give out our assets? Are we generous with our assets to our neighbor? Well, why are we here? We're here to be God's body, be Jesus Christ's body on earth. We're to give out our assets. So this is the way the righteous walk. The righteous receive an abundance of grace, and therefore the righteous are to share abundantly with others. Why do we witness? We've got the assets to witness. We've got the love in our hearts to care about the harm that people are going down, what road they're going down, a road where it ends in harm. Now, the pattern of Jesus himself while on the earth was this: whenever he came to a place and then he left the place was better for him being there. He didn't go to a place and just do nothing, but he went to a place and the place was better. So righteousness is the answer. Being in Christ is the answer. If you are to provide honest guidance to your neighbor, in contrast to the wicked who choose to refuse provision from God, the wicked choose to refuse provision from, I don't want your assets, God. I don't want those things in my life. So therefore, I have nothing to help my neighbor with. I've got no message. I've got no good news. And therefore can only guide their neighbor toward destruction. For being in the way, the righteous live a conduct that is more excellent, for the righteous are always aware that God sees their doings. You know, we've got an inspector. We've got an inspector. Every day we've got an inspector. Mrs. Hobbs used to have in the boys' bathroom a little sign: "Thou God seest me." You go in there and, "Uh-oh, God's seeing me. I better behave myself." I think that was your intent, wasn't it? I better behave myself. A lot of things happen in the bathrooms, you know. But we've got an inspector. He looks at our work, you know, and then one day we'll hear, "Thou good and faithful servant." That's what we want to hear from the Lord. What are we faithful about? We're faithful about using the things God has given to us. For to whom much is given, much is required. Oh, there's a lot of things required of us. But the righteous have Christ's love to move them to righteous acts and good works. We're created in Christ Jesus, what? Unto good works. What have you done lately? What God says, what have you done for me lately? You know? Well, 2 years ago, I led an old lady across the road. Yeah, but what have you done for me lately? You know, the righteous are privy to God's laws. They're privy to heaven's wisdom given by God's word and are able to see what is to come. We're able to see down the road what's coming. So we have a warning message. You know, if you saw a bear in the path and you didn't warn your neighbor that there's a bear in the path, what kind of a person would you be? A scoundrel. But we have the sight to see what's coming, and therefore we can warn them. The righteous know their position. They know their condition. They know their status is more excellent, for they are of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We got status before God through Christ Jesus. The righteous are among his own special people, knowing they have been adopted as a child of God. We have access to the throne of God through their Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't we pray for others? What a gift that is to be able to say to a person, I prayed for you. You have that ability to access the throne of God. They may not. They are given to see God's disposing of the wicked and the destination of the path upon which the wicked walk. You think about the righteous beggar in the bosom of Abraham versus the rich man who lifted up his eyes in hell. We know the difference. We know that contrast. The destiny of the righteous is always superior, for they will be called to come up hither, while the wicked will enter into tribulation. That's an asset, isn't it? To know that the tribulation has no power over us, but the tribulation will cause great harm to those that know not Christ. The righteous will realize the promise that Christ gave his disciples, for in his Father's house are many mansions. What a place of comfort we're promised, while there is no place of comfort or peace provided for the wicked. No place for them. So the way of the righteous is a safe path. It is a path whose destination is assumed. We know where we're going. Do the wicked know where we're going? Well, they hope so. I know so. Don't you know so? Don't you know you're saved? Don't you know that you have eternal life? Don't you know that you're going to heaven? What an asset that is. The way of the wicked is a way that promises much but delivers little. It is a dream world path that is built on sand, a path without foundation. It is a path of deception, promising the finest. Oh, the world promises the finest. But as Isaiah 44:20 tells us, the wicked feed on ashes. That's your neighbor. That's your neighbor who's lost. They feed on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside, and he cannot deliver his soul nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? Now, the way of the righteous is not always easy. God doesn't promise you a silver spoon. For God tells us that we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But you know, along that walk, Christ is with us. God says he will always be with us to guide and lead to everlasting life. For the path upon which the righteous are called is a righteous path. A path that God has laid out perfectly as the right path, for it is the only path. You know, wouldn't it be terrible to have a bunch of paths out there? Flip a coin, fellas, which path are you going to go? No, God says this is the only path. No confusion. Oh, but the devil wants to confuse. There are many paths to God. Okay, which one's the right one? You have to find it. Well, I found it. It's in Christ. It's a narrow path. It's a path on which God's character and God's will has been imprinted. God is always present on the righteous path. If God is not present in your life, you're not on the righteous path. God's will is on every signpost of the path. There's a sign over here, that's God's will. There's another sign, that's God's will. The signposts are many. Each signpost reveals the will of God for the righteous. You know, in our study in Proverbs 12, we've read many of those signposts. Every proverb has signposts for the will of God. We've read of love, wisdom, and instruction. We've read to be a good man. We've read don't be moved from truth. We've read have right thoughts. Those are all little signposts along the path. Regard the life of your animal. God has even told us this little dog or this little cat or this little hamster, regard their life. Little signposts on the path of life. Till your land. Watch your land. Don't let it grow fallow. Heed counsel and counsel peace. Deal truthfully. Guard your lips. And then last week was be diligent. Did you remember that from last week? Well, if you didn't, go back on the path. You'll see that signpost. Be diligent. And the path of the righteous is a blessed path, a path of blessings. For Proverbs 12:28 tells us, in the way of righteousness is life, but in the pathway thereof, there is no death. No death. Death hangs over the wicked at all times. You know, if you're lost, death hangs over at all times. It is always in their thoughts. Death is always in their thoughts. But to the righteous, death is but a passage into the presence of God. For we know from the Scriptures, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It is a blessed path, for on the narrow path, eternal life is already present. You know, we enjoy eternal life. You pass from death unto life by the birth of the Spirit. You already enjoy eternal life. So death is simply another door on the path. The righteous man lives by faith in Christ, and that faith brings him the ability to love his neighbor, to act for the benefit of his neighbor. And in this relationship, the righteous man will operate by unchanging principles of God's word, which will glorify God and bring good to his neighbor. What an asset that is. Walking the way of Christ is a walk of integrity, which provides him a stability and constancy which never comes to the wicked, who are double-minded and self-serving. See what you have to offer? The righteous, under the governance of God's Spirit, assume the position of God's steward and act in Christ's stead. You know, I remember that verse that it says, if a person gives one of his a cup of cold water, they're acting as Christ. So we act in Christ's stead. Think about that as you walk through this path. You're acting in Christ's stead. What a responsibility that is. The righteous see themselves as a part of the body of Christ, who have been kept on earth to serve as representatives of Christ. The righteous are ambassadors for Christ, who beseech their neighbor in Christ's stead. You're acting in Christ's stead to be reconciled to God. His way is more excellent than his neighbor, for he knows he serves the living God, the God with whom he has to do, for he knows that one day all will appear before him. Now, your neighbor may be far more qualified than you in the ways of the world. Your neighbor may have a name with letters from here to there behind it. PhDs and PDFs and JPEGs and all those letters. He may have greater wealth than you, but you know, if he's lost, he doesn't have God's Spirit. And therefore, he does not have God's guiding hand. And because the righteous is in the way of the Lord, his counsel is more excellent than his neighbor, and therefore the righteous man will provide honest guidance to him that will lead only to good. But our proverb ends this way, the way of the wicked seduceth him. Or as the New American Standard Version says, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. That's the contrast. So in contrast to the righteous man, the way of the wicked is dishonest and is designed to lead in a direction that is far from good. In fact, it is a way that will lead astray, with death as the ultimate direction. That's how we're to operate as children of God in this world, to realize that the lost are going to hell. They're living a life that will lead to destruction. You know, all ways apart from the way of God, who is Christ Jesus, are the way of the wicked. Always are the way of the wicked. For the way of the wicked is a way upon which all are seduced. They are seduced into believing a worldview apart from the light of the Word of God. Now, seduce, to seduce is to draw aside or entice from the path of rectitude. Now, that means morality. And duty in a manner by flattery. Oh, the world is full of flattery. Be careful. Be careful of flatterers. You know, nobody's as good as the comments that they receive of flattery. They're always embellished. So to seduce is by flattery, promises, bribes, or otherwise to tempt and lead to iniquity, to corrupt, to deprave. So the purpose of seduction is to corrupt. It's to deprave. And the world system is designed to function by seduction. Paul made this clear when he wrote Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Now, he wanted to make sure that you understood this is from God. That in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Oh, the world system is that way. Now, our world in this modern age is full of seducing spirits who are assigned the duty to draw aside, to entice from entering the narrow path that God has presented through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the world system, invented and brought here by Satan. And it's designed to seduce your children, it's designed to seduce your neighbor, and to draw them aside down the Broadway, the path of the Broadway. You know, I remember the mantra of the 1960s. And the mantra of the 1960s, we are realizing, has worked out today. Oh, you see it all over. What was it? Do your own thing. Do your own thing. What a wonderful idea that was. Do my own thing. You mean I don't have to do the things that my parents did? Oh, no. They're old-fashioned. This is the new age. It meant a walk on a different path than your parents. Break down the barriers and let nothing get in the way of doing what you want to do. Cast aside the path of morality. You know, morality is so binding. It keeps me from doing what I want, doing my own thing. It's so slavish. Let the music be your guide. Let the music speak to you. Go with the flow of things. Tear down the ancient landmarks, for they only hinder your true self. And I remember that song that played on the radio all the time, and it was called The Age of Aquarius. You know, remember that? This is the dawning of the Age of Aquarius. It had a promise of harmony and understanding. The flower children dancing around with the little flower wreaths, and oh, they were having such a good time. It was the age of sympathy and trust abounding. No more falsehoods or derisions. What a joke. What a joke. What a hypocrisy. Golden living dreams of visions, mystic crystal revelation, and the mind's true liberation. So went the song. Wow, what a liberation. We're seeing it today. We're seeing the children being raised by parents of that age. And you look at the children today and you wonder, what's going on here? It doesn't compute in this brain of mine. Well, you're just too old. You're not a flower child. But this was the seducing and enticing message of the wicked. Draw aside from the past. Liberate your mind from any thought of the narrow. And embrace the broad way upon which are the charms of the world just awaiting your taste. The message was to give yourselves over to all carnal pleasures. Live together and love together and sing each other's praises together, but ignoring the fact that each step took them closer to the precipice at the end of the Broadway? What was at the end of the Broadway? Death, destruction, harm. You see, the wicked are unable to see the superiority of the way of the righteous, for they are seduced by sin and Satan, who will lead them to an eternity in hell. There is no common ground between the wicked and the righteous. We believe in separation. Why? Because there's no common ground. Religion wants to make common ground. The ecumenical movement wants to make common ground. Let's come and sit down together and see the common ground. There's no common ground between the paths on which they walk. Proverbs 29:27 says, "An unjust man is an abomination to the just." Boy, that's a strong word, isn't it? "And he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked." Now, even though there is no common ground, our Lord Jesus Christ has told us to love our neighbor. Though he or she be walking on the broad way. And he's equipped us with everything we need to love. He's equipped us with all good things to bring to our neighbor, for our way is excellent, and our mission is to share that way, to share our Lord with all. He's equipped us. The righteous man then is indeed more excellent, not because of anything within him of his own making. We got to remember that, lest you lift yourself up in pride. But only because Christ lives within, and true love for our neighbor can be expressed in no greater manner than to tell the good news that Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the light, died for him. That's our responsibility. God has given us his assets. He's given us the 10 gold pieces, like in the parable. What are we supposed to do with those? Well, I'm going to keep them and hide them under the tree. Well, what did he say about that servant? Depart from me. The wicked, he called him wicked. That's the act of the wicked, to hide the assets that God has given to you. The act of the righteous is to share on the behalf of God, Jesus Christ. Father, we are thankful for this lesson this morning. What an important proverb in the lives of Christian people, in the lives of the righteous. Father, help us in our life. We are weak in this. We're weak in sharing the things that you've given to us. We're here for that purpose. Help us to carry out that purpose as we meet the lost, as we meet the wicked, as we contact the neighbors. Help us to share the things you've given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.